while I'm getting a little settled in the pulpit, but I appreciate what you've done these recent weeks for my wife. I appreciate the lunch that you sent to her today. And she said, be sure to tell whoever fixed that homemade macaroni and cheese, it sure hit the spot, amen. And I appreciate the Lord saving me. I appreciate the Lord taking me out of an old deadbeat denomination that didn't know what they was doing, getting me right with God and letting me see the light of the day. And I became an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist, amen. Somebody said one day, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? I'd say, wrong, amen. But I appreciate what the Lord's done in my heart and life these past few years. I appreciate Brother Gibson being with us today. Wasn't expecting him to be here, but met him several years ago over in Germany. He was a missionary in France, and I'll never forget the day I heard him preach out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. And coming out of the mess I had been in before, I had sort of lost my shout. I was afraid folks would think something about me if I was a shouter. And he got to preaching that day on how to enter the race, how you get in only by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stood up and had me a shouting spell, amen, and been shouting ever since. And don't intend to stop unless the Lord stops me, amen. But I just appreciate our church. And folks, we're blessed. These other missionaries and other preachers that travel and go across the country and across the world and visit other churches, they'll tell you that other churches don't have what we got here. We may not be perfect, but I thank God for Gateway Baptist Church. And God allowed me to come be a part of it. In Jude chapter 1, amen. I want to begin reading, if you would stand up please, as we read in the Word of God. I believe I'm following the will of God tonight. Been praying about it this afternoon. Lord sort of messed up my plans today, amen? But I'm trying my best to get on track here. In Jude, verse number 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. And that tells me we're living in the last times already. Because they're doing that. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. That's the crowd we live amongst today. But look at verse number 20. In the midst of all this junk that's going on, all these mockers, here's what Jude says. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. My thought and attention tonight is back in verse number 20, where he said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. This morning I tried to speak in Sunday school about the giving of our substance, and that is giving of our possessions. I had intended in the morning service to speak about giving of ourselves. That is to give our person to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one thing that's needed to make all that happen, and it's a thing called faith. The Lord being my helper tonight, I want to bring a message that'll help you to build on your most holy faith. Father, we thank you today for allowing us to be a part of what's taking place around here. Thank you, God, for what you've done in people's hearts today. God, we pray you take every decision that was made this morning around this altar or during the Sunday school hour or whatever time of day it was, and God, seal those decisions in their heart, and may we never go back on what we promised God we would do. And Father, tonight we ask again for your special help. We realize, Lord, tonight we're just a vessel of clay. It's worth nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you for putting us in the ministry, counting us worthy. And oh, God, my heart's desire tonight is to be a help to somebody. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's never exercised faith in Calvary and been saved by your marvelous grace, would you speak to that heart tonight? May the Holy Ghost bring such conviction They'll have to come and bow before you, confess their sin, repent, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul. And Father, there may be some child of God here tonight that's sort of grown weak in her faith. Lord, would you take this opportunity tonight to encourage them and to build up their faith that you might be pleased. Thank you, Lord. Give us your spirit without measure. Help us to do what's pleasing to you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You can also turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. We'll be back that way in just a moment to share another verse of Scripture with you about faith. Several years ago when I was pastoring in Italy, pastoring a small church there that was sent there as a mission work to reach the American soldiers that were stationed there, we had a mission conference in our church, and on Wednesday night, our scheduled preacher could not be there the first night of the meeting. So we had a missionary in the conference, and I asked if he would to preach the Wednesday night message. His name was Brother J.R. Seth. At the time, he was a missionary in England, and he's been in Guam since then. But I'll never forget a statement that Brother R. Seth made while he was preaching that night. And he made this statement. He said, if you're not living by faith, you're living a dull life. And boy, there's a whole lot of wisdom in that statement. And I'll say to you tonight, if you want to live an exciting life, then you stop what you're doing and just start trusting and believing and living by faith. And with God's help tonight, I want to take a few verses of Scripture and talk to you about building on your faith. You see, this morning we talked about giving of our possessions. We had intended on talking about giving of our persons. And by the way, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He gave his person. He gave everything. He held back nothing that you and I might be saved by his marvelous grace. The Bible talks a lot about faith. Habakkuk 2:4 says, but the just shall live by his faith. Three times in the New Testament, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And the Bible speaks of some who have no faith, some who are weak in the faith. Jesus said in Mark 11, we ought to have faith in God. And again in Matthew chapter 6, he said, O ye of little faith. And the apostles prayed one time, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus talked about those that had so great faith. And then in Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. So you can't tell me tonight you don't have some faith, because the Bible says that God has dealt to every one of us a measure of faith. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, down about verse number 14. We'll read two or three verses there and try to get into the message. Paul said, for now again, bearing in mind that 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10 are about this matter of faith, promise, missions, giving, and how that the churches in Macedonia were given grace of God to give to their power and then beyond their power. And may I say something tonight? You have the ability to give to your power. You say, what does that mean, preacher? It means you can reach in your billfold or your pocketbook or whatever you have, and according to your power, according to your ability, you can reach in your pocket and pull out every piece of money you got and put it in the offering plate. You can do that. That's given to your power. In fact, I do that quite often. My wife gets worried sometimes when we go to a meeting when I'm just as liable to reach in my billfold and empty it out if God tells me to. And that's given to my power. You have the power tonight to pull out your checkbook and write a check for every dime that's in there and put it in the mission offering. That's within your power. And Paul said in chapter 8, verse number 1, 2, and 3, that they gave to their power, and then they gave beyond their power. Now it may take a sacrifice for you give according to your power. But if you're going to give beyond your power, you're going to have some faith. Because church in Macedonia, they gave to their power and they had a holy dissatisfaction that they hadn't done enough, so they gave beyond their power. And the Bible says that they were in deep poverty and in great affliction. But yet they gave to their power and gave beyond their power, and it's because they had faith. And they had enough faith that they gave the offerings, and the Apostle Paul was able to go out on some missionary journeys and preach the gospel. But now we come to chapter number 10. He says in verse 14, "For we stretched not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." The mission offerings that were given by faith of the churches at Macedonia were able to provide for Paul to come to Corinth and preach the good news. And he says, "We have come this far." All right, now watch this. Verse 15, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." These faith promise principles, the rule he's talking about, that when we've come this far preaching the gospel, now when your faith is increased, watch what he says in verse 16, "to preach the gospel to the regions beyond." And it's going to take some faith. He said that when your faith is increased, then we can go to the regions beyond. Now, we said this morning, Gateway Baptist Church, God has commissioned you to reach the world with the gospel. And thank God we're supporting, what, 80-some missionaries like that? And we're reaching the world with the gospel. But we still need to go to the regions beyond. And the way we're going to get to the regions beyond is when our faith increases, so that we can get more involved in faith promise missions given. Don't quit on your tithe, but increase your missions given. And when you do that, we can go beyond our measure. We can reach further than we've ever reached before. But in order for it to happen, it's going to require us to let God increase our faith. Amen? Now let me say this. Yesterday's faith is insufficient for today's circumstances. God wants your faith to go, and I'll prove that to you in just a minute. But I've got about four things I want to say to you tonight in this matter of faith, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you, and it'll help your faith to grow just a little bit. Now, number one, in Hebrews chapter 11, I find the ordaining of faith by God himself. Turn over there. I can quote it to you, but I want you to read it. I believe, in fact, I started to announce this message this morning, but I'm glad I didn't, because I didn't know what God was going to do after that the morning service. But if there's any such thing as one verse in the Bible being more important than any other, I think this one's it. John 3:16 is an important verse. There's a whole lot of verses in the Bible that are important. But the impact, the profoundness of this verse struck my heart several years ago and got a hold of my heart. In Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter on faith, look at verse number 6. This is God speaking through his inspired word. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Amen? And so we find that God has ordained that the only thing that would please God is faith. Can I say something right here? If the only thing that'll please God is faith, then I reckon we better have some of it. Amen. I want some of it. I don't know about you, but I want God to be pleased with me. I want God to be satisfied with me. The Bible says God looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. That means what Jesus did, he did it by faith, and his faith pleased God, and God was satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me and you. And I believe tonight, God has ordained in his word that the only way that you and I can please God, no matter what God calls us to do, no matter where God sends us or what kind of work God puts us into, the only way we're going to please God in that is to do it by faith. Amen? So look at verse number 5. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see God, and was not found because God had translated him, For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And according to what verse 6 says, and according to what the beginning part of verse 5 says, is that it was his faith that pleased God. I don't know anybody else in the Bible God says this about, that God took him like that. And God was satisfied or pleased with the faith of Enoch. Can I say something to you right now? If you're here tonight and you've never been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, never had your sins washed away, you're not going to get it through some liturgy. You're not going to get it through some catechism. You're not going to get it through baptismal waters. You're not going to get it by church membership, amen? You're not going to get it by shouting and hollering like we did this morning. It doesn't come that way. The only way a man gets saved is by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. If faith's the only thing that pleases God, then in order for you to get saved, you better have some faith and you better have it in God. Amen. God has ordained that the only thing that'll please him is faith. Now, let me move just a little step further in our progression. And I'm trying not to be too long tonight. Number two, not only has God ordained faith, but there also must be an object of our faith. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I saw in the last several years, I began to notice this, that when some Hollywood celebrity, and you think what you want to about him, I ain't got much use for him. Some Hollywood celebrity or some well-known politician that you know ain't nothing but a reprobate, they get on TV and have these big funeral processions, and they brag about how much faith he had. I remember when Gerald Ford died. I met Gerald Ford personally one time. And I had listened to Gerald Ford over the years. And Gerald Ford wouldn't, if he was a man of God, wouldn't use some of the language I heard Gerald Ford use. And when he died, they talked about how much faith that he had. You know what I asked? Faith in what? Faith in what? What's the object of your faith tonight? Because what you believe in, what you put your faith in, is very important. If you put your faith in anything else but the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't get saved. Amen. Amen. Now listen, the object of our faith ought to be a sovereign God. Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. What you trust tonight and what you believe tonight is vitally important. You can believe what you want to believe, but it won't change the truth. Truth is what it is, no matter what you believe. And I believe we ought to believe in a sovereign God. In John 14, 1, Jesus said, watch this, you believe in God, believe also in me. So there's a second object of our faith. You believe in God, you better believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a crowd running around today that doesn't believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And most people are trying to rewrite your Bible. They don't believe it either. But I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is God. He's just as much God as God the Father is. And if you try to separate the two and say one ain't a part of the Godhead, your faith's in the wrong God. There's some of them out there, amen. Jesus Christ, you must have faith in the sovereign God. You must have faith in the Son of God. He said, I and my Father are one. Believest thou this? Amen. The object of our faith is God. The object of our faith is the Son of God. Hey, I'll tell you something else we have to have. You better have some faith in the Word of God. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I remember several years ago, when we first went on deputation, we lived in a little old apartment up in Ringo, Georgia, somewhere over that way. I forgot the name of that little town, Ringo, or Fort Oglethorpe. And the Bible says, listen to me, faith cometh by what? By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. I got thinking about that thing one day. Most of us, we have our devotion times, we read silently, don't we? But faith cometh by hearing.
Take some time sometime when you get alone, read the Word of God out loud and see how much more it helps you. Boy, I'd get up about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning and get at our kitchen table in that little old apartment building. And at that time, I was reading through the book of Hebrews, and I'd start in chapter 1, and I'd read the whole book. And the more I read, the louder I'd get. And Susan said, "Would you please be quiet? We're trying to sleep." I'm going to tell you something. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it does us good to hear the Word of God. That's why it's important for you to go to church. So you can hear the Word of God. This man of God, I got to run on. Look at this. In Romans 4:21, "And being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was also able to perform." The Word of God. Boy, you'd be surprised how much it'll help you if you just start believing what God says. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to rewrite it. It says what it wants to say. Amen. It says what it means, and it means what it says. Just believe it. Just trust in it. Amen. You think about this. In Hebrews 11, look at verse number 11, talking about Abraham. "Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age." Why? "Because she judged him faithful who had promised." In other words, she trusted the Word of God. She had faith in what God said. That's what you and I ought to do. It's just believe God for what he says. And I believe you ought to believe, you ought to have some faith in the Spirit of God. I'm glad our preacher's got enough faith in the Spirit of God, he can back up and let the Spirit do what he wants to. Amen. Like he did this morning. So we find there's the ordaining of faith. There's the object of faith, but I'm going to get you down where the rubber meets the road for just a second. Look at verse number 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance," what did he do? "He obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." Listen, my friend, when Abraham believed God, God told Abraham to get up from where he was at and go to a land that I'll show thee. And the Bible says that Abraham obeyed. Don't you dare come around and start bragging to me about how much faith you got when you don't obey God. Amen? I mean, I'm just trying to be straight with you now. See, obedience of faith is an indication that we have some faith. When you tell me you have faith in God and you don't do what God tells you to do, I got a reason to question your faith. I was witnessing to a lady just this week. I picked up my laundry down at the laundromat, and I saw a lady there, and she was dressed real nice and real proper, and we got to talking. She's reading a book, and I said, "Do you go to church anywhere?" She, yes. She told me she went over to Tommy Turner's church. I said, "Well, praise the Lord." I looked at the other woman, and I said, "And where do you go to church?" She said, "I don't go to church." I said, "Well, I guess that's okay, I reckon." I said, "But let me ask you this. Do you know you're saved?" She said, "Yeah, I'm saved." I said, "Wait a minute. You telling me you're saved and you don't go to church?" "Well, you don't have to go to church to be saved." I said, "You may not, but my Bible tells me that Jesus died for the church. And if Jesus left the church here for his people and you don't go, I believe there's something wrong with your faith." When my faith got straightened out and I got right with God, I tell you where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to church. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Good night, Irene. Amen. He obeyed God. And the inherent thing about faith that I see is that it requires obedience. And the lack of obedience is an indicator of a lack of faith. Faith that is active, faith that is in motion, is a faith that not only believes God, but does what God says he wants him to do. Faith is a real act of faith. It'll put us into action. That's what the church at Macedonia did. How in the world was a church that was in great affliction, a deep trial, it talks about them in 1 Thessalonians, a church that was in affliction and in deep trial, and in deep poverty, how in the world could they give beyond their power? And it's simple. They realized that God wanted them to give and God told them to give, so they just obeyed God and did what God told them to do. And their obedience was evidence of their faith. Active obedience is seen by our obedience to the commands of Scripture. First John chapter 2 says, "He that says he abideth in me and keepeth not my commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." I didn't say that, God did. Real Bible scriptural faith has some obedience tacked onto it. We obey the commandments of the Scriptures. We'll obey the call of a sovereign God, and we'll be obedient to the commission of the Savior. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he spoke that to every church and every church member. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we can do that if we build on our most holy faith. When your faith is increased, we'll be able to go to the regions beyond. Now let me ask you a question, and I'll move on to my final point. What does God use to build up our faith? You ever thought about that? God showed this to me just a few months ago. You know what God uses to build our faith? Faith. God uses our faith to increase our faith. If God speaks to your heart and tells you to take a step of faith and you don't take it, your faith cannot increase. You have to be obedient to the call of God when it requires us to take a step of faith, not knowing how God's going to fix it, how God's going to work it out. We just know God told us what to do, and we take a step of faith. And that step of faith prepares me for the next step of faith. And that step of faith prepares me for the next step of faith. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. And trust me, I'm not trying to brag, okay? I'm just trying to give you an example of what God does in somebody's life. And the best person I know to give an example is me. I was stationed in Germany in 1986, making a career out of the Air Force. And because of a previous service break, I was about 3 or 4 years behind my peers in promotions. And I was praying and begging God to give me a promotion. And I was not eligible for promotion. But I found out the Air Force had a special program that once a year, the 4-star generals could walk up to somebody on the spot and give them an instant promotion. I said, that sounds like that's something good for me. And I dropped a bug in my commander's ear. And he nominated my name up to the general to be promoted. Boy, I was excited. And several months went by and nothing happened. And finally, coming out the door one day, my boss was coming out the door, and I was coming to work Friday afternoon. And I said, Chief, I said, what about that promotion they were talking about? What do you think about that? He said, well, Sarge, he said, you're not supposed to know about that. He said, but since you asked, I'll just let you know. The general decided this morning that you're not going to be one of the ones that gets promoted. Boy, my heart was broke. My wife and kids were in the States on vacation. And I went home, and I began to wrestle with God. You ever try to wrestle with God? Doesn't work too good. Lord, you know how bad I needed that promotion. So, Lord, that just catched me up with my peer group. And just think about it, Lord, you know I'm going to tithe on it. You know what God said? I don't need your money. You know what God was after? He's after me. And boy, all weekend long I wrestled. And I wrestled, and I wrestled. Got up and went to church on Sunday morning, wrestled with God. Got up and went home, laid on the couch all Sunday afternoon, wrestled with God. Went back to church Sunday night and was sitting in the eyes of the church treasurer. We took up the offering. I went back in the back room, me and another fellow. We counted the money. And I came back out to my seat, and I opened my briefcase to drop that money in my briefcase. It's going to take you to the bank the next day. And laying in that briefcase was an Air Force pay scale card. One about this big. You have to have bifocals and magnifying glass to see the numbers. And I couldn't see it. And I got to think, wonder how much more money I would make if they gave me that promotion. So unable to read good, I picked me up another card and used it as a guideline to go across that chart. And I found the spot where the promotion was at. And I got to figuring that thing up. And it was $264 more a month than what I was making right then. Boy, I started wrestling with God. I said, Lord, don't you know how good that $264 would be to me and my family? And Lord, you know I'm going to tithe on it. Lord, why wouldn't they give me that promotion? Man, I was broke. And my preacher was preaching on God calling Moses. You remember when Moses threw the rod down, it became a serpent, and he picked it back up and turned back into a rod, stuck his hand in his bosom, it was leprous, and God pulled it back out, and it was clean again. And I looked up at my preacher, and he flung that old bony finger over the podium and said, God was saying to Moses, Moses, I want what's in your hand. And I looked back at that pay scale and that $264 a month and the card I was using as a guide to read that chart was my faith promise commitment card I had never turned in. I said, are you serious, Lord? He said, yes, I want $264 a month in faith promise. I said, but Lord, I don't have it. They said I couldn't get promoted. Where am I going to come up with $264 a month? He said, I want it. I took a step of faith. I pulled out my pen and I filled out that card. I took the stub and I gave it to the mission secretary. I said, add that to the faith promise. And I went home. And boy, we did start wrestling then. Amen. I said, Lord, my wife, when I finds out what I've done, she'll kill me. Well, what in the world am I going to do? Where am I going to get $264 a month? I went to work the next morning. At 8:30, I got a call from Colonel Carter. He said, is this Master Sergeant Tingen? I said, no, sir. All we have is a Tech Sergeant Tingen. He said, oh, no. As of 8 o'clock this morning, you're a Master Sergeant. And let me tell you, like Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. When I went to work on Friday evening, my boss was going out. They had told them the general was not interested in giving me that promotion. But what I didn't know, my chief was on the way to see the general. And told him, said, sir, you're making a mistake. Now, he didn't use these terms. But I had a young man in my outfit named Ray Gelinas. Got a Dear John letter from his girlfriend. Became a sot drunk at 25 years of age. Wasn't fitting for nothing. Couldn't get no work out of him. Making preparations to boot him out. And the Air Force has spent millions of dollars training him. And God gave me the privilege of leading that young man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got saved, straightened his life up, made a career out of the Air Force. And the chief was on his way to see the general and told the general what I had done in saving that man's career. And the general changed his mind. And at 8 o'clock, now listen to me. Son, that's a step of faith. How in the world are you going to get $264? God said, it doesn't matter. You let me take care of that. You do what I tell you to. You take the step of faith. By the way, when I quoted the verse this morning, I believe it was, given it shall be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken, run over, shall men give into your bosoms. That's exactly what happened. And with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You give what God tells you to give, and God said, I'll have men give into your bosom. And that's exactly what happened to me. But he used the word again. It means he's going to tack on to it. Because from that time forward, every time my record met a promotion board and it read that I was getting an on-the-spot promotion by a four-star general, promote him again. Promote him again. Amen. That one step of faith. And, brother, don't you think that did something for this boy's faith? The next time God spoke to me, he said, I want you to go to the mission field and be a missionary. You know what I did? I took that step of faith. And off to the mission field, me and my family went. Let me give you some observations, and I'll do my best to try to find a place to close if I can get these notes squared away. Might not need them. Think about it. God uses a step of faith to prepare us for the next step of faith. You think about Joshua. Joshua came on the scene and he took over for Moses. They had to go in, and the first thing they had to do to get in when they got into the promised land was they were going to have to fight the battle of Jericho. No weapons of warfare, no trained army against a mightily fortified city, and they were going to have to take it. Now, God knew how they were going to take it, but Joshua didn't. They were going to have to do it by faith. But before they ever got to Jericho, God built up their faith because they got to the River Jordan. And the Bible says that all that season, all that time, the Jordan overflowed its banks. It was a dangerous, dirty, debris-filled river. And God said to Joshua, you tell the priests to get the Ark of God, and when they step in the water, I'll part the Jordan River. That took a step of faith. And when those priests got in the river, all of them, the river opened up and they went over dry land and they got to Jericho. And God said, you're going to take the city of Jericho. And Joshua said, how are we going to do it, Lord? Well, you're going to walk around it for 6 days. I don't know about you. That looks kind of foolish to me. How are you going to capture a fortified, walled city full of an army just by walking around? Let me tell you something. Sometimes when God tells you to take a step of faith, it's going to look like you're going to have to do something foolish. Amen? When I got that promotion, I went back to work the next week and I told them, well, I ain't worried about that promotion. I gave the money to God. They said, you're foolish. And they walked, and they walked, and they walked, and on the seventh day they walked, and they walked by faith. And God tore the city apart, not the walls. How? Just because they obeyed God and took that step of faith. Hey, let me tell you something else, another example. Remember Abraham? God had to do some things in his life. And he's known about the father of faith, faithful Abraham. But he didn't start off with a great faith. It started off little. God told Abraham to go down and leave his place in Ur of Chaldees and go down to a place which I will show thee. And the Bible says he went out not knowing where he was going. He was just trusting God. He took a step of faith and God worked that out. Sometime down the road when he was well past the age of bearing children, God said, you're going to have a child. And the Bible says he fainted not at the promise of God. She didn't. They didn't faint at the promise of God. They trusted God by faith. And God used the faith of coming out of Ur of Chaldees and getting to where God wanted to be to give him enough faith to believe that God would give him a child. But now wait a minute. There's another test coming. Because one day God said, Abraham, take thine son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham could have said, well, Lord, he's the promised seed. If I kill him, what's going to happen to the promise? But that ain't what he done. He'd already learned to trust God. How? By taking those steps of faith, he learned to trust God. And when God said, offer your son, he got the wood, he got the fire, and he got the son, and he went up the mountain to sacrifice the promised seed. Now you and I know the rest of the story. We know that when he got up there and pulled back that night, there was a ram caught in a bush, and God gave himself as a sacrifice. You and I know that. We've read that. But you think about Abraham. When Abraham started up that mountain with the fire and the wood and the sun, he didn't know there was a ram on the other side of the mountain. All he knew was what God told him to do. And he obeyed God. He took that step of faith, and God brought deliverance by giving the ram. Amen? Hey, you think about the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. They had learned to trust God by faith. They were captured. They became slaves. And they said, we're not going to eat the king's meat just like Daniel. Not going to drink the king's wine. They took a step of faith that God would take care of them. And God took care of them. And then they faced the hardest trial that they ever faced, to not bow down to that idol. And they said, we're not going to bow down. Our God can deliver us. But if not, O king, be it known, we're not going to bow down to your idol. They took that step of faith, knowing that the end result was a fiery furnace. They had no idea that God was going to be in the fiery furnace. They had learned to trust God. And when they trusted God by faith, God came through. You see, faith always honors God. It's the only way that we can please God. It's by faith. Faith always honors God. God always honors faith. Now watch this. I'll try to find somewhere to hush if I can. It's good to me. Y'all might not like it, but I like it. Hey, Daniel took that same step of faith. Do you think Daniel knew God was going to shut the mouths of those lions? No. But God told Daniel to pray, and by faith, Daniel prayed, and God honored his faith. Now listen, faith promise works the same way. I believe with all of my heart, and I know you hear me say that a whole lot, but I do. I believe what I'm preaching. I believe that God's chosen way, the biblical way, the scriptural way, to support worldwide missions is in faith, promise, or grace given. God wants to give us a measure of faith that we can give to grace given. Now listen, when I took that first faith, promise step that I took there as a soldier in the army, brother, that did something for my faith. And for all these years, I've been faithfully given the faith promise in good times and bad times. And God's always met my need. Now watch it. The churches of Macedonia, verses, chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3. Deep poverty, great trial of affliction. This was a poor church. You listening to me? This was a poor church. They had nothing. And after they gave everything they had, God still wanted them to do more. And so God blessed them so they could give more. Paul says to them, the churches at Macedonia, one of them being the church at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 4, he said, no church has given to me in giving and receiving like you have. A poor church. A broke church. No church is given to me in giving and receiving like you have. In fact, he went on to say, you sent once and again to my necessity when I was in Thessalonica. How'd they do it, preacher? By faith. They gave to their power and they gave beyond their power. I got thinking about this the other day. I'll try to give you this and I'll close. They were given faith promise missions offering even though they were broke. I got thinking about this thing. I was in a meeting here several weeks ago, and the preacher told me, he said, Brother Tingen, he said, I don't know what's going to happen this week. He said, everybody in my church has either been laid off by the furniture industry or forced into retirement. I don't know what we're going to do with our faith promise. I don't know how in the world we'll be able to even sustain what we got. Well, let's just preach and pray and see what God will do. Sunday night, a church full of people that were laid off or forced into retirement, they increased their faith promise given by $8,000. I got thinking about folks over in churches at Macedonia when Paul was bragging on them, writing them. I wonder how many in that church was laid off. But here's what I wonder. Did they get laid off before or after they made their faith promise commitment? Either way, it don't make no difference. They still had to give by faith. And here's all I'm trying to get you to see tonight. What the church is asking you to do is take a step of faith to go beyond your tithes and offerings and by faith, depending on God, trusting God to give through you what He would not do give to you because He knows you're going to put it in the mission work of this church. You say, preacher, how in the world can I do it? I'm doing all I can do. I'm paying my tithes. I'm giving offerings when it's needed. And I've got bills and I'm paying all that. And I just don't have any extra. Well, I'm glad you don't. Because God wants you to exercise some faith. He wants you to make that commitment on faith. And then watch Him as He not only gives that through you, but He also will increase your faith so you can trust God more and more. That's why I love faith promise missions giving. Not only because it's scriptural, but it's beneficial. It helps you to grow in your faith. And may I remind you, listening, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Folks, this thing's about faith. It's about how much we can trust God. I remember a couple of years ago, I was in a meeting in Pennsylvania. I was not preaching. Brother Dave Carney was preaching. And when he finished presenting faith promise, he offered up a prayer, and here's what he prayed. He made this statement in his prayer, if I can remember it. He asked the question, is our faith in God, do we have enough faith in God to trust Him to meet our need? Does my faith promise missions givings, what he said, accurately reflect my faith in God's ability to meet my need? See, you can get involved in grace giving, but it don't have to be by faith. You can give sacrificially. You can just grin and bear it and just take it out of what you got. And may I say tonight, if you don't have enough faith to do it by faith, then do that. But the question is, when it comes to giving to missions, does my faith accurately reflect my faith in God's ability to meet my need? See, I learned that first time. God can meet my need. There's no doubt about it. God's got more ways to meet your need than you can dream of. I was in Arkansas preaching a meeting like this. A fellow made a faith promise commitment, $20 a week. Went back the next year and he gave this testimony. He said, I gave my $20 faithfully week after week after week. He said, and then one Sunday morning we got ready to go to Sunday school. Told my wife, I said, where's the checkbook I'm going to make out the faith promise? She said, there ain't nothing in it. He said, what do you mean there's nothing in it? I got to give him a faith promise. I promised God $20. She said, well, it's nothing there. She said, I went to the grocery store and I spent all the money. He got mad. God said He'd give it through me. And I made the promise and God ain't got it. Y'all go to Sunday school. I ain't going. Got mad. Said he won't go into Sunday school. Well, he sat there and fumed for about an hour. Got under conviction. So he got in his old beat-up pickup truck and headed to church. About halfway to church, there's a big old Lincoln Town Car sitting inside the road dead. So he beat a mechanic. He pulled over. And the fellow said, I don't know what's wrong with this thing. He said, it ain't never let me down. He said, but all of a sudden, it just quit. Well, pop the hood. I'm a mechanic. Let me see what's wrong with it. Maybe I might be able to help you. Might be something coming loose. I don't know. So he opened the lid, and sure enough, there's a vacuum hose or some wire or something had come loose. He plugged her back up, fired right up. Man, I said, well, praise the Lord. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let me give you a little something. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't have to give me. No, no, you fix my car. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to let you get by without giving you. And guess what he gave him? A $20 bill. You know what? He said, how long have you been sitting here? He said, about an hour and a half. If he'd have just trusted God, he wouldn't have missed Sunday school. What are you saying? I'm just saying, if you'll take a step of faith and be faithful to what God tells you to do, God will honor it. God will never let you go broke by giving the missions. I'm living proof of that. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't know about you, but I sure do want God to be pleased with me. And God's way of supporting missionaries is by faith. By faith they go, and by faith we send them. The church can't do it. I said that this morning. Church can't give a missionary a dime unless you take a step of faith and trust God to give through you what he's not going to give to you, because he knows you're going to put it in the offering plate first. Now, I don't wait for God to give it to me first and then give it. Every time I get paid what I promised God, I give it. And then I watch God give it back. Without faith, it's impossible. That's what I've been trying to present all day long. I don't know about you, but I sure would like to see us go to the regions beyond. And Paul said we can do that when your faith is increased. Would you stand, please, heads bowed and eyes closed.